Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech government approves a plan introducing a regulated cannabis market. Compulsory 7-day isolation for COVID-19 is ending in Czechia. And Czech universities urge staff and students to uninstall TikTok. The Czech government has approved a new drug strategy to run until the end of 2025 that includes the introduction of a strictly regulated market in cannabis. The exact rules of the action plan are to be set by an expert group, Prime Minister Petr Fiala said after a cabinet meeting on Wednesday. The National Anti-Drug Coordinator Jindřich Vobořil said previously that fresh taxation of addictive substances and effective tax collection could generate up to 15 billion crowns for the state annually. Mr. Fiala said the new strategy represented a balanced approach to drug policy and corresponded to international experience in the field. The measures are intended to minimize risks and to limit children's and minors' access to addictive substances, he said. The Czech government has removed COVID-19 from a list of contagious diseases whose culpable spread is punishable, following a proposal by the Ministry of Health. The change is necessary to end the current mandatory 7-day isolation after a positive test for COVID. The Minister of Health, Vlastimil Válek, said after a cabinet meeting that he expected the decree introducing the change to be published in the collection of laws in the week after Easter. It will come into force the following day. Czech universities are urging their employees and students to uninstall TikTok on devices that connect to their school's internal networks, Czech television reported on Thursday. A number of universities have also outright banned their staff from using TikTok on official devices. The universities have justified the move by referring to a warning that the National Office for Cyber and Information Security gave in early March, saying that TikTok poses a security threat. Bird flu has been confirmed by the State Veterinary Institute as the cause of death for dozens of black-headed gulls, which were found dead at a pond in Chropyně, a small town in the southeast of the Czech Republic. The positive result was confirmed on Thursday morning, after veterinarians took samples on Wednesday. Around 30 dead birds were found in total, although the director of the Regional Veterinary Administration, Michal Kamarad, said it cannot be ruled out that there were even more hidden in the reeds. It is not clear when exactly the birds died. The pond in Chropyně is one of the largest nesting sites of the black-headed gull in central Moravia. The majority of Czechs, 62%, are not afraid that artificial intelligence will deprive them of their jobs, while 31% are afraid, according to a survey conducted by Median for Czech Radio. There were noticeable differences between respondents based on their educational attainment, with people with a higher level of education less worried about losing their jobs to AI than people with lower levels of education. Czech society is divided on the question of the risks versus the benefits of AI, with 45% of respondents believing that the benefits outweigh the risks, while 43% think that the opposite is true. The Czech state plans to start construction on 105 kilometres of highways and 18 kilometres of Class 1 roads this year. Some 15.4 kilometres of new highways will open this year, with that number increasing in the coming years due to the large amount of planned construction. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday is expected to be overcast, with some chance of rain, and day temperatures ranging between 2 and 7 degrees Celsius. My name's Anna Fodor, and that's the end of the news, but stay tuned for a closer look at some of today's top stories. Hello listeners and welcome to Radio Prague International. I'm Anna Fodor and this is what we've got coming up in today's programme. A Czech app helps new mums overcome the baby blues. We introduce you to Fantas Cafe, Prague main train station's hidden gem. And later on, we visit Prague restaurant The Borsch, where Ukrainian refugees can get a taste of home. Stick with us to find out more. Many women suffer from depression or anxiety during pregnancy or after childbirth. The Cogito app, launched 18 months ago, is a form of first aid accessible to women who may not be able to afford therapy for financial or time reasons. Daniela Lazarová reports.
Prožívala jsem určitě velkou beznaděj, protože jsem se cítila naprosto nepoužitelná.
I experienced a wave of total despair after the birth of my second child. I felt completely useless and a failure. I was convinced I was a terrible mother.
Matka, která vlastně nezvládá tu mateřskou roli.
Adela is a mother of two and one of many women who suffer from bouts of postnatal depression. Adela's family and friends reached out and helped by pitching in and getting her involved in a therapy group at the Mother Care Centre, where she shared her feelings with women who had similar problems. Doctors confirmed that most new mums experienced postpartum baby blues after childbirth, which commonly include mood swings, crying spells, anxiety, and difficulty sleeping, which can last for several weeks. But some new mums experience a more severe, long-lasting form of depression, known as postpartum or peripartum depression, because it can start during pregnancy and continue long after childbirth. Rarely, an extreme mood disorder called postpartum psychosis may develop after childbirth. Given the high number of women suffering from various postnatal blues, health experts at the National Institute of Mental Health developed an app named Cogito, which uses cognitive behavioral therapy to assess the type and gravity of the problem, provide first aid, or recommend a visit to a specialist. The user registers and fills out a detailed questionnaire with regard to her mental and physical problems and feelings. The app then uses an algorithm to assess whether she's suffering from depression, anxiety, or some other problem and provides basic first aid, similar to that which she would get at a joint therapy group session. Antonin Shebela from the National Institute of Mental Health says that the app helps new mums to understand what the problem is, that it is a common occurrence, and how to go about addressing it.
One learns about the problem, what triggers these emotions, how one's thoughts and emotions can influence behavioral patterns, and how to get them under control in situations that bring on depression or anxiety attacks. There is practical advice on what to do in different situations.
Adela says that while she enjoyed getting support from other mums in group therapy, the Cogito app was helpful in many ways.
I found it very practical to plan my day and keep a diary to record my thoughts and feelings. By writing down what aid techniques I was using, such as breathing exercises, and how I was feeling, I could look back and see what works for me. The app helps you understand what is happening and to know more about yourself.
The app will also assess whether the user's mental health problems are really serious. If the answers to the questions give cause for serious concern, it will recommend contacting a specialist or the nearest crisis centre.
One of Prague's iconic cafes has been drawing visitors after a thorough reconstruction that brought back its original Art Nouveau feel. Located inside the capital's busy main train station, it may be hard to find at first, but those who take the time are likely to be impressed. Tom McEncroe has the details.
Millions of people pass through Prague's main train station every year. The vast majority are, of course, only interested in getting onto their train or bus. However, those who actually take the time to explore the building will discover that its northern wing is made up of a beautiful Art Nouveau-style entrance hall, which was designed by Czech architect Josef Fanta and is commonly known as the Fanta Building. Built between the years 1901 and 1909, the building's semi-circular central pavilion is decorated with painted stucco sculptures, including the coats of arms of Czech cities that tracks from the original station used to lead to. On the right-hand side of the pavilion is a cafe called Fantova Kavarna, or Fanta's Cafe, which is dedicated to the architect. It is one of those beautiful and genuine secession-era cafes that Prague is known for. The cafe, which is owned by the Czech Railway Administration, was reopened in June 2020 after a thorough makeover conducted by its new leaser, Petr Patera. He told Czech Radio that his chief aim was to bring back the business's original aesthetics.
When we took over this place, it was a total building site. We completely changed the interior, from the floor up to the 7-meter-high ceilings. We thoroughly reconstructed the cafe, got rid of all the tiles on the walls and more. We're also very proud of the large vector-printed picture of Mr. Fanta, which we display here. We had it framed by a specialized company that works for clients such as Prague Castle.
The cafe's owners took the effort to carefully study all of the available materials that survive from the golden era of the Fanta building. Memories from those who still remember what the cafe used to look like were sought out too, as was the input from surviving relatives of the architect. For example, Josef Fanta's great-nephew, the writer Jan Kamenicek, gifted the cafe a Madonna relief that the architect had designed for his own tombstone. Meanwhile, the granddaughter of a close friend of Jan Fanta's own daughter, Mariana Matoshkova, was asked to design the cafe's retro feel newspaper, says Petr Patera.
The Fanta newspaper is her work. It's the result of her skills and her experiences, whether it be photographs or letters. This newspaper is a sort of treasure that we print here and provide to guests for free so that they have something to read.
The cafe and pavilion are part of the original main entrance into Prague's main railway hub, which at the time of its construction was called the Franz Josef Station and was one of the last great infrastructural projects of the Austro-Hungarian Empire before the First World War. Those who do get charmed by Josef Fanta's work will be in the perfect place to hop on a train and visit the famous Napoleonic battlefield of Austerlitz, or Slavkov in Czech, whose monument was also designed by the Czech architect.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, where it's now time for today's feature with Ian Willoughby, who takes us to a restaurant in Prague where Ukrainian refugees can get a taste of home.
Just off Prague's Naměstí Jiřího z Poděbrad is where you'll find the borscht. The Ukrainian soup restaurant was opened 2 years ago by the married couple Alexander Martinov and Natalia Bass, with the view to promoting their nation's food and culture in their adopted home of Czechia. However, when Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, the bistro found new significance. And recently, the borscht also made a splash on social media, thanks to a visit from Hollywood actor Willem Dafoe.
You opened this place, the Borscht, in the second half of 2021. What was the reason for opening this very cozy little restaurant?
Well, the reason is that we Ukrainians had major borscht beef with Russia. Not beef like meat, but like battle for whose borscht is. And we were really inspired by a famous Ukrainian chef whose mission is, right now it's already happened, to recognize borscht as a UNESCO, if you heard this story. So basically that story started with Michelin writing on their Instagram page about something like classical Russian borscht or something like this, and a lot of Ukrainians were triggered by that, us including. So it started from there. We thought, let's try something. And we didn't know how much trouble it's going to be to open even that kind of small bistro, but yeah, we're here. It was before the major war started, so our idea was also to popularize Ukrainian culture, Ukrainian cuisine as well. There were some Ukrainian places, but they were mostly, I think, for Ukrainians, so they didn't have this kind of focus or aim to make Ukrainian cuisine popular and known. So that was our mission initially.
Did you guys have a background in cooking, or were you just like amateur chefs?
I cooked some borscht at home because I'm Ukrainian. You know, it's we can do it. But no, we are not chefs, but we can find some very good chef, very good cook. And now we have very good Ukrainian cook at our restaurant.
And you guys serve various kinds of borscht. There's not just one type. I'm an ignorant Irishman. I don't know anything about borscht. I presume there are other types.
There are at least 70 recipes of borscht, Ukrainian borscht. It can be with different kinds of meat, different vegetables, with different styles of preparing.
And you also serve other dishes here? It isn't just the traditional Ukrainian soup?
Yeah, we have several traditional Ukrainian main dishes. Vareniki, holubtsi, chicken kiev, cutlets, we have syrniki. So we have that Ukrainian food that we can say like original, traditional Ukrainian. Yeah, not Soviet, not Russian, but what our grandmothers and grand-grandmothers were cooking.
So these are like kind of historical Ukrainian recipes you're using?
In a way, because like what partially happened during the Soviet time is that a lot of those things kind of went away because there was pressure to make everything unified, so kind of to make people forget their traditional food, traditional culture, languages as well. Yeah, it's in a way a movement in Ukraine to restore traditional recipes, like the books that you will see on our shelves is about this kind of stuff. So kind of even things that we didn't eat as children, because like some different food was given to us, but people looking for historical cookbooks, they even scourge for these recipes in some literature where it's just partially mentioned, and they try to recreate the recipes. So partially, yeah, we inspired by that.
I wanted to ask you guys how the restaurant changed after February 24th last year. I presume greatly.
This first day of big war was a working day, and from the early morning we know already, of course, we got our messages, and we didn't know if we even can work that day. But we all, with our girls from kitchen, decided to try, because we all were needed to do something, manually. Not to scroll our Facebook. So we came here, we worked without music, we worked without... I remember that that day was so weird, but on the day so many people came here just to say something. We all were almost like crying because so many bombs, so many messages, so many thoughts about it. But I would say our state was so awful, but people who came were so kind and
you didn't like Czech people.
Yeah, Czech people, supportive, and even start to give us money to donate, because we start to donate at the very beginning, like, and now we just donate, because what we can do from Czechia, so, yeah.
And what about after that day, more people started coming here, refugees started coming here, using it like a kind of, like, culture center, almost?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of centers for supports where people could have picked up some humanitarian stuff, and so we are not the only ones, and there are people who do much more than us. But yeah, I guess what made us different is that we clearly have the sign that we are Ukrainian, Polivkarna in our case. So when you Google something Ukrainian, or when you even walk down the street, you can see that it's Ukrainian, and people just come in to say something, to ask something. So yeah, in a way, this, I mean, it didn't happen for first probably 2-3 weeks or so, because people started arriving slightly later. But yeah, it was something like this, and there were lots of informational messages at our bar that people could have picked up. Some people were bringing, I don't know, diapers to us and just donating so we can give them to somebody.
Anybody who goes abroad likes to eat their kind of national food when they're away, just as a kind of comfort food. I presume that must have been doubly the case for Ukrainian refugees who were so coming from such a terrible situation.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people missed that food. And even before the war, a lot of people were coming just to eat something which is familiar for them. And I guess partially that was our mission, to feed Ukrainians here, but also introduce this food to people who don't know about it. But yeah, it's still happening, even though a lot of people returning to Ukraine. Still, we have many, many Ukrainians coming because they want to eat that kind of stuff.
I have to ask you also, how are your own families doing in Ukraine?
Women from my family are now all here in Prague. We rent them a flat because they have a little baby and they just can't manage all this, like what baby needs in situation in Ukraine without electricity, without water, without heating. So my women are here and we managed it.
I wanted to ask you also, I'm sure you have a lot of Ukrainian friends in Prague. What is the mood among your community here? What are people's feelings about what may happen in the future? Are people optimistic, pessimistic? I don't really know how to even ask this question.
I'm so angry. I'm furious. I hate Russia. I'm teacher of Russian language. But I want to forget all this stuff because I'm furious about it. I try to do what I can do here to popularize our culture and donate to our army. Like, what can I do?
Well, I would say that at the beginning it was very hard. Probably some people were making choices males, whether they want to go and fight. Like, I didn't have any military experience. It's kind of I feel guilt that I'm not there, but I also know that I wouldn't be able to help. So kind of this mixture of guilt, anger, of course, it goes on for many people in a position like myself. Another thing is that you have this weird situation where something terrible happens in your homeland, and on another side, like, everything is good kind of around you. You kind of, it's some kind of cognitive dissonance because it's both terrible and okay, and sometimes even amazing in your kind of private work life. So it's hard to reconcile. And when, like, for the first month you kind of sad all the time, you want to cry, you are angry, but like the psyche does something with it. In a month these emotions are not that pronounced, and then kind of you find a way to manage and kind of reconcile those two states. And I guess many people are in kind of weird situations. Of course our friends go on vacations and at the same time it's normal to want to go on vacation, but still you feel guilty. You're not post on social media that stuff because it's not like before for us anymore. It's weird, yeah.
Obviously there are a lot of Russians living in Prague, including I presume many who hate Putin and maybe left Russia because of the situation in their country, which is like virtual dictatorship. But how do you feel when you run into Russians on the street, or if I don't know if they come in the restaurant, I guess they wouldn't come in here, but how do you feel when you come across them in public places?
So, like, there are different people. Some people are sensible and they try to, we see that they kind of, there were some regulars, they kind of adjusted their behavior. They're not as, I know, loud, or not that they don't occupy that kind of that much space anymore. They try to behave kind of a more modestly, I would say.
But they still come here?
Some do, yeah, and why not? I mean, it's kind of a divisive thing among Ukrainians, how you treat Russians. And I think there are good arguments on both sides.
But now we don't speak Russian here.
Just we didn't speak even before.
We didn't even before. You know, we wrote there that we mluvime chesky, rozmavlyayeme ukrainsky, and we speak English. But they have to understand from the beginning, from the entrance, that we don't speak Russian. So please, English or Czech. It's not a problem for us. And sometimes they ignore it and speak Russian. But we don't answer. So the minimum what I can do, because for sure I can't prohibit for them anything here. It's restaurant, I'm barman, so I have to be nice to my visitors. but now without Russian language.
That's what I was trying to say, that some are sensible, some are not sensible, and they kind of behave as if nothing happened. And I probably understand why. They also try to pretend nothing happened, because for them it's also hard to deal with it. There was one regular who come and said, like, I hate this country, I don't want it to exist anymore. There are people like this.
A different topic entirely. We kind of got in touch recently on social media because you got a lot of attention, because the actor Willem Dafoe came here. And what exactly was the story with Willem Dafoe?
My friends and I were just walking around Prague 1, Staroměstské náměstí, and we saw this man. And we were like, so familiar face. And then we came to him and asked about photo and talk a little about ourselves, that we are Ukrainians. One my friend, she had concert on that evening, so she invited him to the concert. I invited him to my soup restaurant, to my bistro, and we talk a little. And then I said, like, the borscht is so simple name, you know, you just open Google Map and give the borscht, and that is all. It's my restaurant. So next day he were here at our place, and I couldn't imagine that he will have this time for this bowl of borscht. And he was so nice, and it was simple borscht and kvass, our fermented bread drink, which I called Taste of Ukrainian Childhood. And he loved it, I think. We had this photo, and then and then everybody wrote about it. But it was just a bowl of borscht.
And I'm afraid that feature, which was first broadcast on April 3rd of this year, brings us to the end of today's programme. If you want more, you can find the entire Radio Prague archive, as well as photos, articles and videos on our website, www.radio.cz. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Once again, I'm Anna Fodor. Thanks for listening, and speak to you again next time.